Drew McIntyre here from WWE. Wielding the Claymore can be a life of chaos. When I'm not dominating in the ring, Chumba Casino is how this warrior takes a wee break. With hundreds of online social games and new weekly releases, there's always something fresh to try. And those daily boosts, next level. Even my free time feels like Valhalla. So when life feels like a battle, kick up your feet, have some fun, and let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Third hour, Darren, Donick, and Chase on this Tuesday afternoon. Hope everybody's having a great day. Show's flying by. 2 hours in the books. It's been 50 years since Kansas City has been to the Super Bowl. It's been like 50 hours since the 49ers have been to the Super Bowl. Or a little bit longer than that. Former Titan Lorenzo Neal. Low Neal on the line with us. 95.7 The Game out in Northern California, out in the Bay Area. Lorenzo, how you doing?
Hey, I'm great, guys. How are we doing?
Well, I was just kind of having fun at the expense. 49ers, they've been there, done it many, many times. They've been in this spot. I've got to be honest. I did not think it was going to look easy the second go-around against the Packers. I thought the Packers would put up more of a fight. Boy, was I wrong. In the first half, I was already bored out of my mind.
Yeah, I think that everyone thought that. I think even the people here thought it was going to be a little different. I think once Seattle was out of the picture, that's this kind of, I think, the Niners' kryptonite. Russell Wilson, he gives the Niners fits just because what he does, his ability to extend plays in the pocket, not saying that Aaron Rodgers can't, but he's just a little bit more nifty or a little bit more Houdini-esque. And you see the way that Russell Wilson has played against the Niners, and they matched up good. The Niners didn't, I don't think, necessarily wanted to see them. They were licking their chops once they knew it was going to be Green Bay. And when you saw the Green Bay game, Green Bay had a chance a little bit there in the second quarter. I think the defining moment when you're watching, I know you were probably looking at this game thinking it was over. You're like, okay, if there's any hope, there was a play right there with like 5 minutes left in the second quarter. And Green Bay has a great run. They march down the field 40 yards, get on the Niners' 19-yard line. First and 10 on a 19. Aaron Rodgers in the center, fumbles the ball. The next play of Deebo Sanders, pass interference, move the yard to the spot foul. The next play, Raheem Mostert, 40-yard run, kick a field goal, and now they're up 20-0. And then Aaron Rodgers, with less than 30 seconds left in the first half, throws the ball, INT, Niners score a touchdown, and it was a wrap. Down 27-0 in the first half. The last time these two teams met in the first half, Green Bay was down 23-0. That was the end of the game right there.
Raheem Mostert. I thought he would have 3 touchdowns and 200 yards. He had 4 touchdowns and 220. I kid. I know he's been good, and they've kind of had this 2-3-headed monster, you know, running back by committee. But, I mean, tell us a little bit about this guy where, holy cow, he just took over that game and dominated it.
Well, I think he's right now the Cinderella of the Super Bowl, Cinderella of just kind of the NFL. Just goes to show you that opportunity is never lost. It's just given to someone else. I happen to like this young man. I like him a lot. Bowler up, hammer down. He's a Purdue bowler maker. My son plays there at Purdue. Right, my son was coming in, he was leaving, so he knows that my son. It was just great for this Raheem Mostert. When you watch him, the Chicago Bears, the Ravens, all those teams, 7 teams already cut this young man. Really could have gave up if the guy never stopped believing in himself. And let's credit Kyle Shanahan. Look at the way that his play designing is for running backs. You think about not just him, but think about Ben Garland, the different guys on that offensive line, castaways. Look how they play. I think a lot of this is just system. And yes, Breida, the cheetah, if you look at Breida, who a guy who had some success, and everyone says, what happened to Breida? Kyle Shanahan, his ability to say, look, you're struggling right now, I'm going with the hot hand. And they decided to go to Raheem Mostert. And this thing started when you start seeing him have some big games. Look no further than Baltimore, 146 yards rushing. I mean, this kid, he can play, he's hungry, and he's a special team guru. They love him on special teams, but I think now with injuries to the running back, I don't think this young man's going to be on special teams anymore.
I mean, what would his stats look like if he had a guy like Lo Neal blocking in front of him?
Oh my God. But he's got a pretty good one in Cal Juszczyk. You look at Juszczyk, the fullback position that San Francisco has put this guy in. He's having so much success. And that's why I love this team. That's why I love what they're doing. They're still playing with the fullback. Cal Juszczyk, he will lead you to the ball. If you look at 044, this guy is physical. He goes after linebackers. This running game is pretty amazing, a San Francisco running game. And everyone's talking about, well, Kansas City, they took care of the best runner in the league. Yes, they did. Derrick Henry, by far, is more physical, more stronger, more powerful than any of these backs. But the difference that Kansas City is not dealing with, you're not dealing with the man-all-imano. You're dealing with the scheme. The 49ers scheme in the running game, guys are second to none with all the misdirections, the jet sweeps, the different things they do. You got to stay home. They cut the defense. They make guys stay at home. This Niners offense, Kansas City hadn't seen this type of offense that can move the ball. And, yes, they don't have physical backs as physical as you guys in Tennessee with Derrick Henry, but what they have is by design. Linebackers have to stay backside because the backside becomes the front side. The front side becomes the backside. Because of the way Cal Shanahan, with his tight ends, Kittle, how well they block and the different things they do, it's tough on defenses. So I think Kansas City hasn't seen a running game with this much diversity, not physicality, but diversity and by scheme and illusion. I think they're going to have a handful.
We're talking to Lorenzo Neal, and we're talking about the 49ers as they get set to play the Super Bowl against Kansas City. And, Lo, I was thinking about this when I was thinking back to the draft last summer in Nashville when Nick Bosa was drafted by the 49ers. The whole plan, I guess, got put on hold with Garoppolo's injury last night, but the silver lining was they got to pick high, and they get a guy like Bosa, and they add him to an already pretty talented defensive line, and now you've got some monsters up there. I'm really curious to know what that front four can do against Pat Mahomes and that crew because, man, if there's a way to try to get to Kansas City, you have to be able to beat some blocks and have the kind of talent to make him give it up earlier.
Yeah, and you look at the teams that they lost to. You've seen Tennessee was a dogfight the first time where the Titans were able to get to Kansas City and win that game. Yes, it was a shootout, but they were able to prevail. The Titans were. So you look at the teams they lost to. Look what the Indianapolis Colts did to them. They kept Patrick Mahomes off the field, and they grind the ball and make them become desperate. I think you get after him. If they want to beat Kansas City Mahomes, if the Niners are going to have a chance, Mahomes, you got to make him beat you from the pocket. If you let him scramble and beat you from outside the pocket and give him all the whole field, you're not winning this game. I'm telling you, he's too fast, he's too strong, he can run with the ball in his hands, and you get him outside the pocket, you see the way that he can flick the ball. There's not a throw he can't make. He can throw from every angle. So the biggest thing to me with this front four, this is not the Niners defense, this is not the Niners secondary. This comes down to Patrick Mahomes versus the front four. Can that front four keep him in the pocket, make him beat you going the ball in the pocket? He's pretty good, but see, he hasn't faced guys at 6'6 and 6'7 and Armstead and Buckner. Those are two guys that are giants. It's hard to throw in the middle. Go look at all the passes and see how many teams have had success against the Niners trying to throw the ball in the middle of the field. Those two trees in the middle, they make it hard for any quarterback. So you've got to keep him in the pocket. We know what D Ford and Nicky Bosa can do. They got to don't rush too far up the field because of the fact you give Mahomes a little lane, and now you're asking those DBs to cover forever. It's going to be paramount. It's going to be imperative that they keep him in the pocket and make him throw from the pocket, and that way it'll be a little bit more difficult. But if he gets outside, yes, I know the Niner defense can run, and they have speed. I think that it will be a headache if that happens and Mahomes outside the pocket, but then he can have success, and it's the threat of the pass and the run.
Talking to Lorenzo Neal here on Darren Donick and Chase, and sticking with the defense. I mean, look, Richard Sherman is one of the biggest personalities in football, and you know a thing or two about having personality. But how important has he been just to that defense as they try and build the culture there and what he's been able to do the last couple of years since leaving Seattle and coming to San Fran?
I tell you guys, he has been the glue and he's been a mouthpiece for this team. He's the guy that said, put it on me. You don't hear a lot of people talking junk or doing anything with the media, and it's great. It's the greatest diversion that everything that the Niners are going through. Who does everyone want to talk to? They want to know, talk to Richard Sherman. Why? Because he's going to move the needle. And it's taking the pressure off young Nicky Bosa, Armstead, and Ford, and all the different guys that are out there on defense. It's all about Richard Sherman. And he likes that, and the team loves it because he puts a lot of pressure on himself. But at the same sense, he's loved in that locker room. He is an emotional leader. He's a guy that can make sure the guy's attention to details. And you watch the way the guy plays. He understands the pass rush he has. And they're going to sit back and they're going to make guys run through zones. This defense can cover and they do a great job, but it all starts with that pass rush. And Richard Sherman will let you know that as well.
I want to ask you a non-49ers question because you blocked for some great running backs in your time. Eddie George, obviously here, LaDainian Tomlinson. You look at somebody like Derrick Henry, and I've heard him described as he's built like a defensive end. Just how special of a talent and rare of a talent is he? And as we talk contracts with him, you know, that's obviously going to factor in. But just what do you see from afar when you see a talent like Derrick Henry?
Well, you know what? I tell you right now, Derrick Henry is so talented. You know, you look at Eddie George, you look at his body of work. Eddie George's body of work, is Derrick Henry going to get there? I don't know. But just right now, he's one of the most physical backs I've ever seen. And the thing about it, if you see the back of him, it's too late. He has speed, breakaway speed. He can run. He can carry. He does a lot. He runs through people. He's really, really tough. He reminds me somewhat, believe it or not, of a guy that's big, physical, didn't get the credit that he deserves. It's friggin' Corey Dillon, guys. If you go watch highlights of Corey Dillon, and you put him, that guy, if you would have put him on a great team, the sky's the limit. Eddie George had a lot more talent around him, so Eddie George isn't necessarily the focal point like Henry is. So Eddie George still was a great back. If Eddie was in an offense like that where they all solely depended on him, I think you would have seen a lot more out of Eddie George as well. But Derrick Henry, he was carrying that team. I'm just talking about from an offensive standpoint. You had a guy in Steven Nair and the different guys. Steven Nair could throw the quarterback. You had Frank Wycheck. And not to say that, hey, this Tennessee team doesn't have talent. I'm saying the one position that you've got to have talent and the one position you've got to have a pretty good player, that's the quarterback. And I know everyone's on Tannehill and Tannehan thinking that he's necessarily the answer. Don't see it. And it got exposed. There was a play in there in the first quarter. You had 48 running down the sideline. Tannehill holds onto the ball too much. You saw him start to get rattled. The play action has kept this guy in the game. Yes, he's very versatile, can run, can move around. I don't know if this guy can take Tennessee to the next level to win a Super Bowl, and I'm happy for him. Happy that this guy has made a resurgence. He played solid. He played consistent. Yes, but I don't think that he's the answer. I think this team better look at a guy named Tommy Brady.
Really? Because you just read my mind.
Well,
eyebrows raised.
Because we talked about this yesterday, Lo, of would you rather have Tannehill on 2 years or something like that, or take Brady for a year and see what you can get?
You get Tom Brady, and you know what? You get Tom Brady, you do it for 2 years. You do it for a year. Let me tell you right now, you Tennessee Titans do that. As right now, I tell you right now, with the young receivers and the young firepower, when he walks into the huddle, you got instant gratification. When he walks into the building, the whole building changes. Now, if you got arguably the greatest quarterback of all time, if he walks in that building, he walks into that place, you don't think the guys are going to step up and want to protect him. The defensive, offensive line is going to protect him even more. Receivers are going to fight to get open even more. And he's a student of the game. How hard is it to sack Tommy Brady? Because he knows where the pressure is. He's a coach on the field. Tom Brady, guys, everyone talking about he's done. There's one guy that he didn't have, and it's one guy that killed him not having, and that is who? You know it. It's Gronkowski. If you gave him a tight end, he's a chain mover. Look at the teams that are in the Super Bowl. You know who's in the Super Bowl? The San Francisco 49ers. George Kittle. Maybe, to me, I know he's the best tight end in the league. Oh, by the way, Kansas City. Kelce, is he a pretty good receiver? I think so, and I think you guys would agree. You get a tight end for Tom Brady, play action, all this stuff. With this running game with Henry behind him, and now you got Tom Brady and Derrick Henry, have fun trying to slow that thing down, because Tom Brady, guys, still to me, is one of the sharpest and smartest quarterbacks. Yes, he doesn't have the speed. Yes, he's a pocket guy. But I'm telling you, you put him on a good offensive line, and with the running game and tight end and play action, this team right now, I tell you right now, the odds for winning the Super Bowl goes up tremendously.
Well, says Lorenzo Neal. Lo, let's end it with this. Who was the best receiver you ever played with?
Wow. You know what? I've had some guys that you look at in the league, and I go through the different teams that I played with. You know, San Diego didn't necessarily have a great receiver, but you know what? How about this? We had a guy by the name of Wes Walker that they cut, so didn't have a chance to really play with him. You look at the guys that I played with, Carl Pickens on, you know, one of the guys played with me in Tennessee, was great, but also caught him in the latter part of his career, played with Keyshawn Johnson and when was with the Jets. I tell you, a guy that people don't talk a lot about, that didn't know a lot about, Eric Martin came in, played with him with the Saints, was another great receiver that I was able to play with and just learn so many things from them. So, but I never really played with a receiver that you really know that can just take over a game, can be a game, just a definitely game changer in that magnitude. You look around the league, guys, and yes, Kansas City has some pretty dominant, pretty great receivers, but they're not the great ones. You look at the guys that are there, Antonio Brown. Go look at all the big-time receivers, where they're at in the Super Bowl. Name me a receiver, guys, and I know Jerry Rice and those GOATs, and I get it, but look what happened in Cleveland. Look who's supposed to be the great receivers in Cleveland. Where are they at home? Look at Antonio Brown. Where is he at? What would he have done, even when he was on his best day? So think about that. Everyone talks about, oh, you put all this money in the receivers. Give me a great quarterback. Give me a great running game and a great tight end. And I'm telling you, I'd rather have that than a great receiver. A lot of these great receivers, not Jerry Rice, and there's a lot of great receivers out there that played, you know, that still was good, Megatron, those great receivers. But give me a lot of those guys. A lot of them are divas. A lot of these guys, they pout. Look at Diggs. What happened to Minnesota when they needed him most? Because the ball wasn't going to him. Sometimes, guys, everyone wants these all-world receivers, and they think that they're going to help them that much. I don't see it, and you guys see it. You guys are watching these playoffs just like I am. Show me some teams that had supposed to be great receivers and where they're at. Look no further than New Orleans and with the Saints.
Man, I hope Derek Mason was listening to this interview. Lorenzo, always good to talk to you. Thanks for doing this. Enjoy the Super Bowl. Should be a lot of fun. Hey,
no question, guys. D. Mace was a good receiver, but was he a Hall of Fame receiver? That's what I'm saying. Give me those solid blue-chip guys, and that's why Derek Mason was so good, because he played with a chip on his shoulder, because everyone didn't look at him as a go-to guy, and Derek Mason had a lot of things to prove, and he
yeah.
did that.
If I asked you who was the yappiest receiver, you would have named Derek Mason,
oh,
for sure.
Oh, Derek Mason. Yeah. I mean, tell that bootleg preacher to, you know, he got a Bible in one hand and a bottle in the other.
Lo, always a pleasure. Thanks for doing this.
No worries, guys. Cheers.
Lorenzo Neal, 95.7 The Game out in San Francisco. All right, we'll come back. More of Darren Donick and Chase next. Well, we certainly got into this yesterday. Had a really good discussion about it.
And it spilled over into the writer's room over at St. Thomas Sports Park, by the way.
Really?
When I got there.
Hmm.
We had, we started the conversation, because I was with Teron, and then Teresa Walker and several others walked in, Terry McCormick, and the conversation spilled over. So everybody had an opinion on it, and it's mixed.
Well, you put a poll out yesterday, and the final results were what?
If you're the Titans, would you rather have Tom Brady for 1 year, have Tannehill 2 to 3? 72% of you said Tannehill, 28% Tom Brady.
The bird in hand. The listenership went with the bird in hand.
Somebody
went two in the bush theory.
Somebody went as far to say Mama O said, if you bring Brady here, I am done with the Titans.
Whatever. That person can have fun next year if that happens, and then you'll see
if other
they got people
to the
might...
Super Bowl with Tom Brady, they would be done.
Trade up and draft Joe Burrow. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Right. Good luck with that.
Yeah, that's not happening.
Tom Brady. Anyone who says Tannehill is crazy.
Darren, first of all, let me throw this out, guys, because I did look at a website yesterday, overthecap.com. And I misread how they were putting the age of the quarterbacks. They were putting the age of the quarterbacks one way, and in my head I thought it was a projection of next year or current. So I shortchanged, or I actually added on a year of all the quarterbacks.
You said he's 44. He will be
43 next year.
Going into next year, yeah.
Right. They already had in the column on the website the age that the quarterbacks will be next year. and I was thinking they were posting the current age, and I added one to everybody. So my apologies to Tom Brady. So because my thing yesterday, I must have said it 10 times. He'll be 44. Well, he'll be 43. Still, really. I wonder about regression, but at the same time, I think both options are good options. I think that's why this is a compelling thing. The thing that has to start everything is, do the Patriots give Tom Brady the signal that it's over? Right? Because we asked Floyd Reese on the transition. As we walked out, he walked in, and we said, what do you think? And he said, I just will believe that Tom Brady will play somewhere else when I see it. I'm guessing
there's a lot of people
that
feel that way.
And I don't think that's completely crazy.
So this is all predicated on Tom Brady hits the market, mm-hmm. right? Now, if he hits the market, then you start to ask yourself, if you're Tom Brady, what is a better home than the Titans? I don't know that there is one. I think it wins the contest and it wins hands down in an ideal situation for him, knowing that the Patriots are not an option. Is that fair to say?
Well, I don't know about hands down. That's a pretty strong word. I mean, Indianapolis isn't a horrible option at his age to be indoors, not have to deal with the elements at home anymore. He doesn't have the running game, but Marlon Mack's a pretty good running back. He's not Derrick Henry. T.Y. Hilton is a number one receiver.
It's good.
Right? And they've got Ebron tied in.
He's got weapons.
Last I checked, he likes to throw to tight ends.
And the last time I checked, their offensive line's pretty good.
Very good.
So, for going on 43-year-old quarterback, I would say
Anthony Costanzo is a free agent, and I've seen potential retirement rumors for him. But you know, if he's back, obviously that helps. But the rest of the offensive line,
I mean, Nelson is what makes that thing go.
Yeah,
I mean, he's the engine.
Right.
I mean, their offensive line is graded out well. Right, in the last couple of years. I mean,
they have fixed that.
So, you know, I wouldn't say hands down, because I think Indianapolis would be a pretty attractive option as well. And you got Frank Wright, who's a really good coach.
Very good offensive line, yeah. No question.
But you can also then make strong cases on why the Titans make sense, as we've discussed and you heard from Lorenzo Neal. I mean, he's going to have a better relationship with the head coach here than Frank Reich. I just think Frank Reich's a really good coach, especially with quarterbacks.
Just, it's interesting because normally if you throw something out like this, it just sounds like a total fantasy.
Look behind right? you on the big screen. Colin Cowherd, does Tom Brady return right. to New England next season?
Well, that question is the first question, right? That has to be addressed. But if he is not going back to New England, then somewhere along the line, there's going to be a phone call, don't you think, between Tom Brady and Mike Vrabel?
Sure.
So it's just not a full-on fantasy, far-fetched deal.
Well, and Mike Vrabel yesterday was extremely noncommittal on any time the roster came up, it was the same canned answer of, well, John and I, you know, but he always said, John and I sit down and we will look at the roster. We're going to build the best 90-man roster and then cut it down to 53, yada, yada, yada. Now, I don't expect the head coach the day after they lose to get up there and go, yeah, you know, I'm going to call Tom. I'm going to see what Tom's doing, see if he's interested. You know, Ryan did a good job, but Tom's my guy, so I'm going to give him a call, see what's up, and then, you know, I'll get back to you guys. He's not going to answer it that way.
Of course not.
But so he gave us the answer that I fully expected, but you can also hear the tone that he's got a lot – they have a lot to look at, and he's going to be very much involved in that. And I think – to do the whole due diligence process would be picking up the phone and calling Tom Brady and saying, hey, what do you think?
If that unfolds that way. But I think what you're trying to read in that press conference is, are you getting a temperature of they really love Tannehill and they want him to be the guy? Or is it just that he is an option and a good option? Because was it lightning in a bottle? That you just caught the best stretch that Tannehill will ever have as a quarterback? Statistically, it was for him, right? That's the most success he's ever had. Is that sustainable? I think it's a good option, but is that better than Brady? I was sitting here yesterday going, I just love the fit of Tannehill and how it looked this year. But the further you get removed from the season, if Brady is just sitting out there, it's intriguing. I admit.
What did Lorenzo Neal say?
I voted for Tannehill yesterday.
Lot of what I brought up. The minute Tom Brady walks through those doors, everything changes. Everything.
You're going to have a ton of Titans number 12 jerseys. You have people showing up at different events.
That's a side
attention
piece that you get, for sure.
Then immediately is on what everybody has been screaming for 2 decades. Why don't the national media, why don't they talk about the Titans? Why don't they get Monday Night Football? Why don't they get a Sunday Night Football? Why don't they ever talk about the Titans? Which I could care less about. I've always said stop worrying about what the national media talks about. That all goes away.
Yeah.
That goes away.
I mean, they're playing.
They're going to be on NBC.
4 primetime
games
at least.
They're going to be on ESPN. They're going to be playing Sunday Night Football. They're going to be playing Monday Night Football.
And, more afternoon games on CBS.
And they're going to be talking about the Titans all the time. Okay? Good Morning Football, the NFL Network. They're going to be breaking down the Titans, and that goes away. Now, that's nice if you care about that. That's a cool thing. That's not my argument why I chose Tom Brady. To me,
but you do get
the other factor is what else have we talked about with Nissan Stadium? Okay, they're in this now. I've been bringing this up for 2 weeks. I was the one that was bringing this up before they even got to the AFC Championship game. They are in a window now to strike while the iron is hot. People have come back. They've come back.
Yep.
They're watching.
And for the first time in a good while, yes. 46, by the way.
Come back. Haven't sat in the seats.
Okay.
Yet.
Fair. I'm saying, though, they are getting people back. People are back on board. So now they have your attention. They're on the doorstep. They're ringing the doorbell. Before, they weren't even doing that. They are now. And so you add him to the mix. Look, if you can't sell tickets next season coming off an AFC championship game and Tom Brady is your quarterback, then, as I said yesterday, put a for sale sign up and just close up shop. Because I don't know what you're doing. That shouldn't even be in the equation. The other thing to me is motivation. Motivation, the only reason he's leaving New England, let's just be perfectly honest, is I think there's this power struggle. Bill Belichick, I can do it without him. Tom Brady, I can do it without him.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
He's got one thing left to prove.
And so both of them are dying to prove to the world that they can do it without the other. Right? They're going to go down as the greatest, both of them. And this historic run may never get duplicated again, but it's with them hand in hand. And I think both of them are extremely motivated to try to do it without the other. And so you get a guy that people are telling him he's at the end of his career, he's too old, you can't do it without Bill Belichick, and I think you get an extremely motivated quarterback. And those are all the reasons. It has nothing to do with Tannehill. It's not against him. It's not saying I didn't believe in him. It's just simply saying when you have an option to get the best ever, and the guy who's won 6 Super Bowls.
And he happens to have a connection with your coach.
And he has a connection with your coach and your GM and blah, 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 blah.
It's worth exploring.
To me, it's not worth it. That you're asking. We're asking to choose. I'm going to go that route.
Okay.
I'm going to TB12.
My biggest concern, because I think all of that is a given, right? You're going to get the circus. You're going to get attention. You're going to get league-wide stuff. All of that's going to happen. My concern is, what are you getting Tom Brady at 43 as opposed to 42, 41, 40? He has stayed productive. This was one of his least productive seasons statistically, but those who watch them every week continue to say it's not him. He can still do it.
Yeah, he didn't
if
have
he
weapons.
Has if he has the right pieces around him. He can't elevate everybody maybe like he once could, but if you give him the pieces, he can still get it done. Now, that would have been this year. Is that again true next year or the year after? Could you squeeze 2 years out of him? I think that's a question that you want. Is it all your eggs in 1 year or is it a 2 year kind of proposition? That's one thing.
He's 43, is that right?
He will be 43.
He will be 43
to start next year.
What has he said consistently?
He wants to play to 45.
So if you get 2 years, you sign him to a 2 year deal and you get those 2 years and have something waiting in the wings.
And can you do it because he's 43 without completely breaking the bank and keeping some resources to put the necessary pieces around him? Now, would you guys say this? Let's try to simplify here. Is Brady the only other option you would consider besides Tannehill? Would you agree on that? To me, he's the only guy I would consider.
Yeah.
Other than that, it makes way too much sense
Rivers.
Just to stay.
Rivers is in the conversation, but no, I don't feel anywhere.
You'd rather have Tannehill than him?
Probably, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think so, too. Tannehill was that good this year. We're talking about the greatest of all time sitting there, theoretically. Because that's the only. This is the hypothetical that he's out there on the free agent market.
And look, this is all speculating.
Either yeah. one, I think you have a really good feeling about the direction of your team. It's such a unique thing that could be sitting there.
Sure, and I get the feeling, and again, I'm speculating. I don't know Mike Vrabel. I don't know what's going through his head because the way he answers questions. But I'm sure he's thought about it. I mean, I feel like it's probably in his head that, you know, Tom's got the goal of trying to do this without Bill. You know, maybe this is the right fit. Now, I don't think he would necessarily look at it as I would abandon Ryan Tannehill just to go get Tom. I think there's the business side of it, and you got to have the conversation with Tannehill. You can do that right now. You know, have those talks, and if it works out that Tannehill's the guy, then that's the direction that you go. But you have to figure that Vrabel and Robinson, guys that know Tom Brady on a personal level, I mean, it's that thought of, getting him, you know, the type of weapons. Maybe he comes in here for a little bit less and he says, you know, I just want to win, so I'm here to help you guys, you know, pay me. But it's not a money grab for him.
Well, that's it. Joe Corey, I think, brought that up. Does the fact that there are a lot of guys out there at quarterback help the Titans in their budget, right? Save a little extra money by not having to overpay for that quarterback. By the way, they just flashed Ryan Tannehill on the NFL Network. His passer rating in 2019, knowing that that's not the end-all, be-all, fourth highest in NFL history for a season. Pretty good year for a contract year.
No doubt about it. They are listing the top 25 free agents going into this offseason. They had Ryan Tannehill as number 6 on that list. We'd like to find out where you would choose. What side would you be on? We'll actually reward the best caller with a prize. We've got a pair of tickets to see Volbeat with special guests Clutch and the Picture Books at Municipal Auditorium on April 13th. But you have to weigh in. If you had to choose one or the other, Tom Brady or Ryan Tannehill, if those were an option, okay, how would you go with that and why? Love to just hear what you're thinking. 615-737-1025. I think it's a really interesting discussion that we've had the last 2 days on the show. It has garnered a lot of attention, and now we'd like to hear from you. Right now, I want to talk to all those homeowners out there. I want to talk to you about USS. It's a foundation repair and waterproofing company that has served our area right here in Middle Tennessee since 1994. And they have over 18,000 satisfied residential customers. They're proud of that, and they should be. And if you've been outside lately, I know it's been cold here the last couple of days, but when we were having really nice weather, and maybe you noticed that some bricks were cracking, or you've also noticed that you've had some walls that are bowing, doors or windows that are sticking, drywall that are separating, maybe your chimney has been tilting or leaning, got stair step cracks, your masonry or mortar joints, these are all signs that maybe something's going on with your house that maybe you need to get the experts out to take a look at. Wouldn't it be nice to be at ease as a homeowner of, is this a big deal or not a big deal? They are the experts at USS, and they believe in quality of work. They believe in their reputation. They believe in integrity. These are all things that are important to them as a company. They also will give you a free estimate. They're locally owned, and they're licensed and insured. And that should all be things that have a homeowner perking up if something like this is going on. This is the number to get them out to your house, your residence. 615-227-2275. That's 227-2275 to make an appointment. I've done it. They came out. Luckily, I came away with a clean bill of health. A thumbs up on my home. Their website, usstn.com. That's usstn.com. They guarantee their best. Call USS.
Well, I think Ryan did a fantastic job. I'm happy and proud for him that he was able to come in the seventh game and lead us to the AFC Championship game. He also was today selected into the Pro Bowl, which is it's a huge honor for someone that came into the seventh week. You know, now John and I will meet and we'll talk about the roster, about the free agents, about contracts. You know, our focus has always been about beating the Chiefs. That didn't happen. So now our focus is on, you know, the offseason.
And the offseason it is. Now we're asking you, 615-737-1025, if you had the opportunity, if Tom Brady really was available, and a lot of people believe he can be had, he might be available, that maybe he will not be in a Patriots uniform for the rest of his career. If that were the case, and he would be willing to come here, is that something you would be interested in as a fan? Or would you rather see the Titans reward Ryan Tannehill for his play this season? Would love to hear what side of the fence you are. Yesterday, Chase put a poll out on 1025 The Game on Twitter. We got a ton of responses. And your answer yesterday was Ryan Tannehill. 73%?
72%.
72%. Now we're asking you to call in and tell us. By the way, we'll give somebody tickets to see Vol Beat with special guest Clutch in the picture books at Municipal Auditorium on April 13th. Let's see. Let's go to Ian. Ian, get us started. What side of the fence are you on?
Well, let me start out with I absolutely hate Tom Brady. Just like I have always despised him. I've never liked the Patriots. I hate the Patriots. And I've never really liked Tom Brady. I do love Ryan Tannehill. I've loved what happened this year. But if it came down to getting Tom Brady in free agency, I am 100% for it. Because, I mean, why? It's a risk, yeah, because we don't know exactly what his potential is being turning 43. And last year he wasn't very good. But they had no weapons. And what I remember from Tom Brady is that they just won the Super Bowl two seasons ago. They put up like 50 points or whatever the score was against the Chiefs last postseason. I mean, I don't know why you don't take that risk. I mean, he's the greatest of all time, and he wants to win. And if he's available, I just don't see how you don't. Tannehill's good, but it's Tom Brady. I don't know why. It's just worth every risk and every penny that you pay. I don't see why you don't do it.
That's pretty interesting. So you admitted on the front end you're not even a fan of him. You don't like him at all, but yet, if you had the choice, you would pick him to come here and be the quarterback.
No, I hate Tom Brady, but if I could get him and he can win us the championship, I mean, that's it. I mean, that's what fans want, right? They want championships. So if it gets us the championship, I feel like that gives you a better chance than Tannehill. Not that he wasn't good, but Tom Brady, he's won a lot.
And I think that's why you hate Tom Brady.
Thank you, Ian.
Most people don't like him because he wins all the time.
Yeah.
But if he comes to your team, then you sign up.
There you go. One vote for Brady, and that was pretty interesting because I thought the reason he was saying that was to say the reason that I'm voting for Tannehill is just so you know on the front end, I can't stand Tom Brady.
Yeah.
Said he went the other direction.
Did you hear what Stephen A. Smith said yesterday?
Yeah.
About it?
We read it. Mm-hmm. Yep.
We're not the only ones.
737-1025, one vote for TB. How about Jeremy? Jeremy, what side of the fence are you on?
I've got to go with Tom Brady, not just because what he does on the field, but think about what he could do off the field. In the quarterback room, he's going to bring so much more detail and so much more attention because he does have the experience. But also, he's going to put butts in seats. That name brings a lot more recognition to the Titans than Tannehill does, at least in my opinion.
Okay. Thank you for the phone call. Look, it's nothing against Ryan Tannehill, but you know, there's no comparison when it comes to ticket sales. Tom Brady or Ryan Tannehill.
Well, I would like to think,
like I said, that's not a knock at him. It's just reality.
But I would like to think you should be able to sell out your stadium based on what Tannehill has done. I mean, why couldn't they sell out the stadium next year, regardless?
Well,
don't
you
think
you
should?
You've already admitted, and we've all agreed that it hasn't proven. They may be watching, but so far, it still hasn't translated to hard
100%.
Ticket.
100%. You know. But if you can't sell more tickets based on what they just did, that's pretty sad, honestly. They should be able to fill the rest of the
seats. If they go with Ryan Tannehill, do you expect sellouts?
I don't, because I don't think do the necessary
If they had
steps.
Tom Brady, would you expect sellouts?
Yeah, I think that would. Yeah, I would. Okay,
that's what I'm saying. That's the difference.
That would make it a lot easier.
Yeah. But the league
in
general.
They would do it without working.
Yeah.
Which is sad.
Sad. That's fair. But the reality is we all answer it the same way. Do any of us believe there's hard sellouts next year with Ryan Tannehill? No. Do we believe that there's hard sellouts with Tom Brady? Answer is yes.
And I think that's more of a league problem than just a Titans problem, too.
Yeah, no doubt. Let's go to two votes for Brady. Let's go to Chris. Chris, where are you at on this?
Well, guys, I will start off and preface that I am not a Brady fan as well. In fact, I'm more of a Miami Dolphins fan than a Titans fan, although I am a Titans season ticket holder. With that said, I think Tom Brady plus a nice draft pick equals, you know, Brady more of a mentor than Tannehill and leading that drafty pick for a couple of years and setting us up nicely for the future. On the other side, I do have recollection of the Chiefs back in the day doing a Montana thing at that stage in his career, and it didn't work out past the first round of the playoffs, if I'm not mistaken. So
no, that's not true.
They got to the championship game, did they?
They got to the AFC championship game Montana's first year, and then the second year they lost in the wild card game. So he was at the end of the road, but he wasn't the same, but he was still pretty good.
Yeah, you know, and I'll take that 1 year, but if that save, you know, I also would add that I think we can probably get Brady at a discount compared to what Tannehill, the market will drive for him. And so if we could save a little money there by getting Brady and allow us to sign Henry, then you got my eye. So that's all I got, guys.
All right. Thank you, Chris. Appreciate it.
The money is a hard one to figure.
Yeah, we've tried to
say the money is comparable.
I know you can't keep it out, but I don't want this to be about the money.
But let's say it's comparable.
We just want to know where are you at? If it's close and you can make it, which side of the fit, which one would you choose? I don't want it to be, well, one's $32 million, one's $24 million, and then you make your decision on that.
Well, there's a quarterback that's about to turn 43, and there's a guy coming off of a career year. So I don't think it's that big. Every $1 million, you could argue, makes a difference. But they're both going to be probably out there on the market. This is all predicated on Brady hitting the market, obviously, right? We still think there's a good chance the Patriots say, we want you back.
We could find out in 2 weeks that the Titans and Ryan Tannehill have come to an agreement. I mean, you know, who knows?
Yeah. But if that's a team-friendly deal, then, you know, strike while you get a chance to do that. That's something you got to consider.
Trey, where are you at on this?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I want to make two quick comments at the beginning. One, I'm glad that Ian kind of recollected himself there and did not go with the I'm not a Tom Brady fan, so I'm picking Tannehill. And I wonder if that's where a lot of that 73% from yesterday came from. And that's just, you can't do that. But anyway, for me, I think if you want to level the playing field here and say, okay, Brady's getting older, Tannehill might not play well next year. Let's say they both flop. Let's say money's the same. Let's say we don't do well next year. Either way, if you pick Brady, the things that a couple of callers have kind of already touched on, the things that he can do for this franchise going forward. Look at Jimmy G playing out in San Francisco. He was a Brady underling, right? So whoever we bring in behind Brady to potentially play in the future for us, the butts he's going to put in the seats, I just like the opportunities that Brady brings to forward this team into a new era. Whereas, you know, all things equal, Tannehill, if he doesn't play well next year, you know, or the year after that, I feel like that's kind of the end of it for him. That's not really, you know, it's like, well, we rode that lightning in a bottle until it was gone, and now what? So I just think I like what Brady brings, even if he doesn't do anything himself.
Okay, good stuff. Thank you.
Interesting take.
Four up, four for Brady.
where are the 72% from yesterday?
615-737-1025.
Quite a different deal today, isn't it?
It is. Maybe they slept on it.
Maybe they slept on it.
Charles, what about you?
Hey, man, I think I'm a young attendant here, man. The attendant here is a lot younger than Brady. Me personally, in my opinion, I look at Brady as like an old Dodge Magnum or something like that. Tannehill's the new Dodge Charger for me. I mean, hopefully he can one day be a Hellcat, you know. But that's all I want to say. And hang up and listen.
All right, so he goes with the car references. Hellcat is pricey. So we're trying to keep price out of this. So there's our first vote for Tannehill.
Here's something I thought of, too. If you choose Tannehill, there is a possibility, right, under this hypothetical, that he's not going back to the Patriots. That's the hypothetical we're asking. Mm-hmm. Then are you prepared for you have Tannehill, but the Colts have Brady?
Yep.
Because that is possible, right?
It is. Jarrell.
And then the other is true. Maybe Tannehill goes to the Colts.
Could
happen, right?
Yep. Jarrell, where about you?
Hey, how are you guys?
Good.
All righty. I'm not sure about this, Tom Brady. I've been AFC fan since 1960-something when the Dolphins came out and the American Football League was playing and we were slinging it everywhere. And perhaps Tom is doing that today. However, I have looked at it, and I don't think Bill Belichick, okay, will allow Tom to leave because Jimmy G is gone. Who does he have?
Well, if that was the case, they would have already come out and said it, wouldn't they? They've been done for weeks. Why haven't they said anything?
But who do they have?
Well, right now they have Jared Stidham.
Okay. All right. Well, I tell you, unless Billy Boy, as I call him, because I'm a Dolphin fan, he is not going to let him go unless he has somebody. And I don't think Tom will go because they are, like, attached to the hip.
Well, I don't believe that's the case because we wouldn't be having this conversation. Thank you for the phone call. There's a reason why this conversation is a conversation that's being had out there, and it's been really going on all year. I mean,
we've had it several times.
People have shied away from the fact that this could be the end for Tom Brady in New England. So to say that they're attached at the hip, once again, I'll say they were attached to the hip. One, we wouldn't even be having this conversation, and two, well, they've already come out and said, look, Tom's not going anywhere, so you guys can stop talking about it. And the fact is, nobody has said that. They've all done their radio interviews in Boston. They've all done the press conferences. And nobody has said, look, enough. Okay? He's here. He's not going anywhere. So enough of the conversation. The fact is, nobody's saying that. So it's hard to believe that they're at, you know, that this is something that just everybody's making up, yet, you know, this is going to play. Maybe it does play out where he stays. That's fine. But today, it is a conversation. It's a real conversation piece. And, oh, by the way, who do they have? Well, we've already named a bunch of quarterbacks that are out there. Who says Bill Belichick can't go get Philip Rivers?
Right.
Or he can't go get Teddy Bridgewater or whoever they identify as the guy. Cam Newton. I don't know.
Drew Brees.
There's going to be all kinds. Right, I mean, right. There's going to be all
Tannehill.
There's going to be all kinds of quarterbacks. Jameis Winston. I don't know how Bill Belichick feels. There's going to be tons of quarterbacks out there available that have been starters in this league for a long time.
Yeah. Look, it's unprecedented the number of quarterbacks available.
I'm sure they've thought about this, right?
Of course.
Belichick has envisioned this. What if?
Yeah. I mean, who knows? The league could look different from a quarterback standpoint next year.
No, the league is going to look different.
Yeah. I mean, in several spots.
Not all of them. I mean, we know Drew Brees is probably not going. I don't know how Bridgewater's
Winston
gonna,
could go
but,
back.
But the other guys, it looks like they're probably changing addresses.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting.
Yep. All right. We'll come back. Fourth and final hour. We will kick things off with Jeff Perlman. We will do that next on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.